new controls will have to be imposed, and a world governing body will be created to enforce them. Crises precipitate change.
Secretly plotting your demise. I want to devise a virus to bring dire straits to your environment. Crush your corporations with a mild touch. Trash your whole computer system and revert you to papyrus. I want to make a super virus strong enough to cause blackouts in every single metropolis. Cause they don't want to unify you. So get total anarchy and can nobody stop us. You see, late in the evening, stuff on my computer and my mind starts roaming. I create like a heathen. The first cycles of this virus I can send through a modem. Infiltration hits your station. No Microsoft or enhanced DOS will impede. Society thinks they're safe when, bingo, hard drive crashes from the rending. A lot of hackers tried viruses before. Vaporize your text like so much white out. I want it where file replication is a chore. Lights out, shut down entire White House. I don't want just a bug that could be corrected. I'm erecting immaculate design. Break the nation down section by section, even to the greatest minds it's impossible to find. I want to devise the virus to bring that
false flag news. Loved by fans, hated by detractors. It's Monday, November 27th, and I was just running downstairs, so I am a bit out of breath, but I'm coming to you live on Republic Broadcasting Network. Folks, I have a ton to talk about. It's a call-in show tonight, which means it's your chance to talk to yours truly and get the word out to other Americans. That number is 800-313-9443. Again, that's 800-313-9443. I'm on the lousy connection, but I'm going to be moving to Skype right after the break here. Listen, I'm going to get into news about Iran, about China, about Russia, about Iraq, and of course, about the downfall of Scholars for 9/11 Truth as Dr. Jim Fetzer attempts to sink the group with his poison pill straw man theories and is now being locked out of the site. Lord, thankful. Oh, how happy I am to hear. And now apparently he is moving to a new site. He's going to open a whole new scholars group. I say, good riddance. Let him and all the other clowns leave and let the real scholars do the real scholarly work. I'm going to be talking about that in the first part of the show, but let me get into the hard news, because I already wasted too much time talking about these people who are trying to destroy 9/11 Truth. I want to talk more about the current intelligence situation as it stands right now. Folks, it was a report a few days ago that Russia is sending surface-to-air missiles to Iran. Now, for those of you who were lucky enough to see my speech in Washington, D.C., and certainly for the regular listeners of the show, what I have described is a plan by the neocons to use Iran as a launch point for the endgame against Russia and China, what they call World War IV. This is what the PNAC boys, the neocons who are on the retreat, so fantasize about. And, of course, what I mentioned is that China has massive oil and gas deals with Iran, and they've sent them missiles and weapons technology. And certainly the Russians have done so, helping them build the nuclear reactors and sending them missiles. And Russia has sent them the C-701 and C-702 or C-802 systems. And now we have Russia sending them the new TORM-1 system, surface-to-air missile. So let me get to this article from the Associated Press. Report, Russia defends sale of arms to Iran. Russia's defense minister defended his country's sale of arms to Iran, saying in an interview published Monday that air defense missile systems it is delivering will not upset the regional balance of power. Russia said on Friday it had begun delivery of the TOR-M1 systems under a contract signed in December. Quote, every country is allowed to deliver arms to one another as long as it is not evading any sanctions in doing so, Defense Minister Sergei Ivanov was quoted as saying to the German magazine Der Spiegel. Quote, we are selling only a limited range of defensive weapons, he added. Quote, the TOR-1M air defense system, for example, has no influence on the balance of power in the region because it only has a range of up to 40 kilometers. Well, folks, I would argue this is upsetting the balance of power in the sense that now the neocons really do have a Russian adversary willing to defend Iran. I'm going to talk more about the geopolitical situation, the breakdown of the 9/11 scholars group, and so much more. And I'm going to have a Skype connection when I get back. My voice will be clearer than ever. Call in tonight, 800-313-9443. Back after the break.
shivers.
Somebody on a dialysis machine in a cave didn't have NORAD stand down, didn't do war games of flying planes in the buildings that morning, didn't do CIA insider trading, didn't call Marley Brown and tell him not to fly, and Ashcroft and everybody else.
What really happened on September 11th when 3,000 citizens were sent into heaven? Why the era fake Bin Laden video confession? Why the fairy tale version got so many questions? With radical hijackers that were only using box cutters, sliced up pilots like a knife cutting hot butter. They had us frantic like a NASDAQ stock runner. They flew in planes like a Tom Cruise cop.
Back here with all the news that's fit to discuss on a shortwave network. I am your host, D.L. Abramson. Does my voice sound prettier now? Am I a little bit clearer? Is the audio three-dimensional enough for you? Look, I need to plow through so much news. The geopolitical situation is more frightening than ever. As I mentioned on a previous show, Seymour Hersh has been discussing how the Israelis and the CIA are training rebel fighters from Balochistan, Kurdistan, and Azerbaijan to move into Iran to destabilize the regime. And, of course, this also includes the actual terrorist forces. And when I say terrorists, I mean these people are on the State Department's list of terrorist forces, the Mujahideen el-Khalq, the MEK. All of these lovely individuals are being used to go around Iran right now picking out bombing targets. Now, as we move to a new moon, I believe on December 9th, and as the moon begins to recede right now, we again come into that time period when the desperate faction, the 9/11 coup faction, may find a way out. They may find a way out of the losing war in Iraq as Baghdad is surrounded and the supply lines are cut, as Afghanistan is being lost to the same Taliban fighters that used to control it, which makes the CIA very nervous because the opium crop could be cut off, and without the heroin money, how will the CIA ever function? So you have a desperate faction of coup plotters who are losing at least two wars, and let us not forget the Israelis, humiliated by Nasrallah and the Hezbollah forces in Lebanon, and are now desperately seeking to push the United States into war with Iran. In fact, Scott Ritter had an amazing article just about this topic, how this Iranian invasion will be a war constructed and made in Israel. And I again will emphasize, and I seem to be saying this every show, but it's sad because I get a lot of emails about this. People still don't seem to understand. It's not a Jewish plot. There's not some grand group. You know, it's not that every Jew is in on it. It's sad that there's a lot of ignorance on this issue. I'm talking about the Israeli government. This is a small faction of psychopaths in the Mossad, IDF, and Israeli Knesset who have decided that they need to cause World War III. And that's Avigdor Lieberman. That's Olmert. That's a lot of these projects for the New American Century guys, which are just rejects from the Policy for a Clean Break, which was drawn up by Benjamin Netanyahu. And, of course, Netanyahu was making a speech about a week and a half ago saying, the Iranian option, we got to go, we got to take them out, that the Iranians are like Hitler in 1937 or 1939, and we have to take them out. So the intelligence situation has not changed tremendously. I still see a desperate faction, especially after the election, facing possible subpoenas from Henry Waxman, seeing their wars being absolutely destroyed, seeing the Baker-Hamilton Commission. And again, I think that the Baker-Hamilton Commission is just a way of increasing the troop size. You know, they're saying, well, we're going to add 20,000 to 30,000 more troops, but then we're going to have a phased withdrawal. And it's the carrot in front of the horse. This is what they're going to dangle in front of people because they know that at least 70% of the American population has turned strongly against the Iraq war. It is visible to all but the most really low level. I mean, the people whose brainwaves just aren't quite there. The real true believers who, if they saw a video of President Bush murdering somebody, still would vote for the GOP. I mean, only that's the last group of stragglers left around who can blindly support this. I think anybody with any level of critical thinking has basically seen that this war, whether or not they may have initially supported it, is a disaster. A really unmitigated disaster here. So you have the desperate faction, and now I'm talking about the intelligence situation as it relates to Russia and China. Because when we invade Iran, and if this does happen, when I say we, not you and I, although maybe drafted or thrown in FEMA camps, but I'm talking about the United States military as well as the Israelis using F-16s and B-1 and B-52 bombers, as well as the four carrier strike groups which are now in the Red Sea and Persian Gulf, the Eisenhower, the Enterprise, the Expeditionary, HMCS Ottawa, and the Iwo Jima. Wow, that's five strike groups. Those groups are still poised for any attack, as well as the rebel fighters that are being trained in Balochistan, Kurdistan, and Azerbaijan. These are the things we need to start familiarizing ourselves with. I mean, I talked about this at the conference. There's a real propensity amongst those in 9/11 truth to still be stuck on the 9/11 issue. Stuck on every piece of evidence. Everything is WTC7. Oh, and talking about the same stuff over and over. Look, the 9/11 inside job must be an important vector of critique on the neocons, because we can expose the myth of Al-Qaeda. Because Al-Qaeda is used as the justification for the torture, for the wars, for the destruction of the Constitution, for the eavesdropping, for the creation of camps around this country, for the theft of money inside the Pentagon, for the massive contracts being given out to the firms like Raytheon and Halliburton, DynCorp, Beyond, Lockheed, Northrop, and beyond and beyond and beyond. So the 9/11 inside job is an important vector, but in a certain way, if we don't move on, we don't get out of the past a little bit and focus on the current situation that is preventing war with Iran, we're going to be in big trouble. We need to familiarize ourselves with who the MEK is, where Azerbaijan is located, what a B-1 and a B-52 bomber is, what these four carrier strike groups mean. These words should all roll off your tongue, because this is where the 9/11 truth movement must evolve right now. You know, the intelligence situation changes every day. A CIA analyst or an FBI analyst or whatever, they don't just keep talking about the same thing from 4 years ago. They incorporate it, but as a 9/11 truth movement, we are an organic, open-source intelligence operation. And in doing so, we must move with the times. Let me get to this. Iran and China poised to sign pact on oil field. 25-year deal could be worth $100 billion. This is from Bloomberg News, November 26, 2006. Iran and China have moved a step closer to signing an energy deal worth as much as $100 billion, with the Islamic Republic saying it had invited China's petrochemical managing director to Tehran to sign an accord first reached in 2004. The contract for Sinopec Group, as China Petrochemical is known, to develop the Yadavaran oil field in Iran and secure oil and gas supplies over a 25-year period is complete and ready to be signed, the Iranian oil ministry said on Saturday. Iran, under U.S. economic sanctions and at odds with the United States and European Union over its nuclear activities, is seeking friendlier markets. Listen to this. This is where it gets interesting. China and Russia said in October they would oppose a draft resolution imposing United States sanctions on Iran for its nuclear program. Quote, all elements of the contract have been finalized, and it is in the final process for signing by Sinopec. Under the deal signed by Sinopec, China would pay Iran as much as $100 billion over 25 years and have a 51% stake in the Yadavaran oil field, which is in Khuzestan province near the border of Iraq. Folks, I've mentioned Khuzestan. Khuzestan is the area where 90% of Iran's oil wealth is located. That is spelled K-H-U-Z-E-S-T-A-N. Let me spell it out again for you, because all of you ought to be Googling this. K-H-U-Z-E-S-T-A-N. Khuzestan. And when the United States and Israeli forces, should they choose to do so, invade Iran, you can believe they will begin to secure the oil fields in this very slim region between Iran and Iraq, right on the border. So they may bomb the rest of Iran and create mass genocide, bomb 400, maybe 1,000 targets, whatever they're talking about right now, because it ranges. Some people say it's going to be 1,200 targets. Some say 400. It will be mass genocide. They're talking about a limited nuclear invasion with so-called low-yield nukes. It will be a massacre. It will be a bloodbath on both sides, especially because the Iranians are now armed with surface-to-air missiles, anti-aircraft missiles. They will mine the Straits of Hormuz. I mean, it will be a disaster on both sides. And interestingly, Royal Dutch Shell is going to work in the development of this oil field. Shell officials have said the company is seeking a 20% stake in the field. So I think it's interesting to see Shell is also involved in this deal. Now, if the neocons and the 9/11 coup faction decides to invade Iran, how do you think this will be looked upon by the Chinese investors and the Chinese state-run oil firms, who have now signed $250 billion worth of oil and gas deals and now another $100 billion on top of that? Probably not too friendly. How about when the thousands of Russian scientists are killed, when the nuclear plants are destroyed? And don't forget that a lot of this oil, which is then coming into China, is being traded on the Shanghai Petroleum Exchange, which opened on August 18th. Let me say it again, Shanghai Petroleum Exchange. These words are just as important as WTC7 or controlled demolition or NORAD stand down or any of these things. It's great that we're all makeshift 9/11 experts and we can all recite the facts, but we need to move on and start learning the new terms. It's been 5+ years since 9/11. It's time to update the terminology a little. It's time to move with the times. Time to update our strategy. Time to fight the war as it stands now. That doesn't mean we have to stop talking about 9/11 inside job. It's an incredibly important issue. But let's get educated about what's going on here. So we have big military deals with Russia, big oil and gas deals with China. And then I have this item here. Iran military plane crashes, 36 killed. It's from Reuters. An Iranian military aircraft crashed shortly after takeoff from Tehran airport on Monday, killing 36 people on board. It said two people survived the crash of the Russian-designed Antonov 74 and were being treated in a hospital. And here's the best part. The plane was being used by the Revolutionary Guards, the ideological wing of the Islamic Republic's military. Folks, that's where Ahmadinejad comes from. The statement by the guards read on state television said 30 guard members and 6 crew were killed. So here we have a plane crashing with the Iranian Revolutionary Guard on board, 30 of them killed. We must wonder, is this a coincidence, or is this somehow related to Cheney's visit to Saudi Arabia and the breakdown of the situation as Iran invites Iraq and Syria to a peace conference? We also have the assassination of another leader in Lebanon, which many people suspect was done by the Mossad. Folks, after the break here, I'm going to talk about Baker Hamilton. I'm going to talk about the prospect for war in Iran. And then after that, I will talk about the breakdown of Scholars for 9/11 Truth. It really exemplifies what's going wrong in 9/11 Truth and a lot of the people which are being used as poison pills to try to split us apart, to divide us, to make us look like fools. And I'm going to do a little expose on them. Coming back with all the hard news and taking your calls as well. It's False Flag News. Diet Coke, aspartame, turn to formaldehyde. FDA approved with Monsanto with a power line. Stop drinking Diet Coke, people. Oh, my Lord. You see your relative drinking a Diet Pepsi, swipe the damn thing out of their hand. All right, that's not what I'm talking about, although I do have a bit of health news for you today. Look, I'm saying that we need to update and start understanding the intelligence situation. That means Shanghai Cooperation Organization and Collective Security Treaty Organization. These are the groups with Russia, China, Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, Tajikistan. See, I can do these by memory now. And Kyrgyzstan, as well as Armenia, Belarus, and passive partners in Iran, Pakistan, India, and Venezuela. We all have to start, and Mongolia for that matter. This is the counterbalance to NATO. We have to get familiar with these countries. It should roll off our tongue as much as WTC7 or any of the details of the 9/11 inside job. Look, I want to talk about what the situation is with Russia and China. I have a really interesting article here about the arms dealing relationship and the energy relationship between Russia and China. It says the demonstration of weapon systems at the 2005 Sino-Russian exercises might have been meant to promote Russian arms sales to the observers of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. India, for instance, comprises 40% of Russia's arms exports, and Iran is considered to be an important growth market for the Russian arms market. Currently, some 45% of Russian arms go to China. Since 2000, Russia has delivered weapon systems to China, including fighter aircraft, submarines, and destroyers, amounting to an average of $2 billion annually. China has been the target of, China has been the largest consumer of Russian military equipment for a number of years. Russia's arms trade to China is an important factor of cooperation between the two countries. It goes on, in 2005, during a visit to Beijing, Russian President Vladimir Putin stressed economic ties, especially in the work of Russian energy companies in China, bilateral trade projects that would distribute those supplies to third countries, as well as the delivery of Russian and oil and gas to China. Furthermore, in November 2005, Russia and China agreed to double oil exports to China and to consider constructing an oil pipeline from Russia to China and a gas transmission project from eastern Siberia to China's far east. China, however, also focuses on Kazakhstan and its need for energy. And it goes on about the pipelines. Folks, this is what's developing, a new bloc of Central Asian countries who want to control the oil and gas market, who want to get off of the dependency of the United States dollar and OPEC and the dominance of the Middle East by the Anglo-American oil companies and finance oligarchs that control the Bank of England and the Federal Reserve. So as I mentioned in my speech in Washington, D.C., and as I've mentioned many times on this show, Putin has basically battled against the oil oligarchs, Chevron, Texaco, ExxonMobil, British Petroleum, Unocal, Royal Dutch Shell, kicking out some of the major finance oligarch families. By rejecting their environmental permits and by pushing the Shtokman oil field and the Sokolan 1 and Sokolan 2 oil field and natural gas field, liquefied natural gas, into foreign companies like Total and the domestic companies out of Russia like Gazprom, which is now the state-owned firm. And Gazprom is also moving into electricity. I mean, you're watching the Gazprom affiliate get so much larger as the Anglo-American factions get kicked out. So never forget that the invasion of Iran is a direct threat to Russia and China. The Shanghai Petroleum Exchange, we have the Iranian oil bourse, Venezuela trading in euros, and of course Russia opening the Russian trading bourse. These are the points that matter most when the invasion is talked about. We know that the construction of an Iranian nuclear weapon does not exist. It's essentially a complete fabrication. There's absolutely no evidence that a weapons program exists, and if it did, they are 5 to 9 years away. But you will not hear that so much on the mainstream news. That stuff goes right down the memory hole. I have an article here from Raw Story. Draft report on Iraq strategy calls for Syria-Iran talks, but has no drive for pullout, which sort of mimics what I believe is going to happen here. Quote, a draft report on strategies for Iraq, which will be debated here by quote, bipartisan commission beginning on Monday, urges an aggressive regional diplomatic initiative that includes direct talks with Iran and Syria, but sets no timetables for military withdrawal, according to officials who have seen all or parts of the document, the New York Times is set to report on Monday. With the diplomatic strategy appears to be likely to be accepted with some amendments by the 10-member Iraq study group, members of the commission and outsiders involved in its work said they expected a potentially divisive debate about timetables for beginning an American withdrawal. Of course, they're going to say, folks, we're going to put in 20 to 30,000 more, but then we're going to pull out. Baghdad is surrounded. The supply lines are being cut. 150 Iraqis are being murdered a day. The troops are being exposed to depleted uranium, and the poor Iraqi souls and children are going to have to breathe in that depleted uranium for the rest of their lives, really for the next few billion years. By that time, we'll probably be robots. You know, and the kind of mass genocide, I don't even think we can comprehend what the murder of 650,000 Iraqis since the invasion began looks like. I don't even think we can comprehend the million Iraqis that were killed during the sanctions, the kind of mass murder that these people have suffered through. And now you have Sunni and Shia killing each other. And a lot of this has been sparked by bombings that may have been done by intelligence agencies. We know a lot of the weapons seem to have been distributed by the CIA. We know it was Paul Bremer that disbanded the Iraqi army with a largely Sunni population in that army. We know that we had the British SAS being caught trying to bomb a mosque, and then they were busted out of prison. We know that the sectarian violence is part of their plan to split this country with a, quote, new map for the Middle East, where they're going to split it into three parts, a Kurdish, a Shia, and a Sunni part. Divide the country up so it can never be united, and of course take over the valuable oil fields. But the answer is not to put in more troops. A lot of people think that somehow by adding more Americans into Baghdad, this will make the situation better. It is a losing strategy. The supply lines are being cut, and the last thing we need to see is more dead Iraqis and more dead Americans as this conflict expands. I think the phased troop withdrawal is a joke. It's being held out, and it will never happen because the oil fields and the 14 permanent military bases are too important for Halliburton and the neocons. I am coming back after the break. More news, and then I will discuss scholars. Coming back, it's False Flag News, and I will be taking your calls.
Immortal technique disintegrates mics when I spit. I cause more casualties than sunken slave ships. Full to capacity, I bring tragedy to rap without my man Gaddafi. The government took Nazi scientists from Germany to design nuclear rockets and ways of observing me. These empathetic attempts didn't work to murder me. When this country was conceived, bastards never heard of me. But now I hold the souls of slave masters eternally. Bleeding internally, burgundy during surgery verbally. Cause I'm a spiritual witch, devils are incompatible. I've been around since the planet was inhabitable. I spit in the ocean and created microscopic animals, which evolved into two species, the righteous and the cannibals. But until then, I had what God said, let there be light. I turned it, and that's the reason Earth is only 5 billion years old. I made the sunshine and permitted time to unfold. The surface was locked. When I stepped down, it became cold. What you've been told, my spiritual form became a swarm of molecule sickness, manifested liquid trapped inside a mountainous region until the sky started raining. Continuous seasons, immortal technique, and long last reincarnated.
undebatably reinstated to leave you decapitated. Just sweet food, but my crazy words make sense. I split every pound in your body into sixpence. I'm sick of simple similes about the sixth sense. I leave your body drenched in the blood from all your ancestors. You'll never be at peace like the souls of child molesters. I'll bless you, bless your festering wounds with alcohol, drown you in a clock.
All right. Well, that had to be the longest musical introduction of that segment. You got a little bit of a treat from Immortal Technique there. And, of course, if you ever want to hear my music, you can get that. MySpace.com/RoyShiversRap. That's where I do my musical thing. Listen, I just was had all these articles lined up and my computer has crashed, which is just a wonderful blessing. So I'm actually going to take a call. Do we have Mike in Maryland on the line?
Yes, yes. Thank you very much.
Absolutely, Mike.
Hey, guys, going to really enjoy your show. Hey, you know, I guess I must be, you know, I'm starting to enjoy rap music now. I've been listening to your show so much.
Oh, wow.
But I'm getting jiggy with it, man. seriously, though, I talked to you briefly at the George Mason University symposium.
Okay, cool.
After it was over, I don't know if you remember me or not, the big guy with the glasses. We talked about the Mexican border thing a little bit, but
I absolutely remember you. We were talking about the merits of having a fence versus not having a fence. We're talking about the North American Union. Fire away, Mike. I remember you.
Yeah, sure. I really enjoyed your talk there. Really good rapid fire, you know, information. You know, really, really enjoyed your talk. And of course, everybody else there too. I thought the symposium was a big success. I can only concur with you that we can't be a one trick pony. When it comes to the, because I'm a member of the Truth Movement, not necessarily 9/11 Truth, and I do give out DVDs about 9/11. I try to tell people about the coming police state, and I mean, there truly is no rest for the wicked, because there are so many avenues where the Illuminati or the globalists, the New World Order, are infringing upon our rights. And our personal safety, and just there's just so many avenues. So it's difficult almost sometimes to, you know, to a new person to introduce them to, you know, everything that's happening. So I try to spoon feed information to people, you know, when I encounter somebody new.
Yeah, but, and I think there's a danger, because what we see is that a lot of people in 9/11 Truth are still so stuck on the evidence. I think when you look back at the JFK assassination, right, there were a lot of people who were saying, well, it was four shots, it's five shots, it was this group, it was that group. What they should have been looking is not exactly just how it happened, but who stood to gain and why it happened. That is, that Kennedy was beginning to print a new silverback currency that would have broken the back of the Federal Reserve. Pulling the first 5,000 advisors out of Vietnam, who could have benefited from it and who would have had the motive to do it? And then again, why would they do it for the war in Vietnam? Now again, why was 9/11 done? It wasn't just so they could kill 3,000 people. It's to get the future wars. It's to engineer a North American Union. It's to engineer a police state. If we continue to get pigeonholed, and this goes for a lot of those scholars out there. I mean, Mike, I am absolutely distraught, and I've talked about it on this show. This will be a perfect venue to talk about it. What Jim Fetzer is doing and trying to plant these poison pill ideas, I think that there's a lot of people who are, in my opinion, deliberately setting up straw men right now. Evidence, really, that they call it research. You know, this is our research, when in fact it's just straw man ideas that can be knocked down because they're so obsessed with how 9/11 may or may not have happened. And in the case of Fetzer, it's how it didn't happen. But that they lose sight of the bigger picture, that we are still on the brink of war with Iran, that our movement needs to focus not just on exposing 9/11, but on saving the Iraqis who are still alive who haven't been massacred, on saving the 130,000 American kids who are caught in a depleted uranium crossfire right now, on arresting a lot of the criminals who were behind this, on making sure that we can pull out the people who are being tortured in Abu Ghraib prison, to make sure we can begin stopping the lending policies that are destroying the third world with the World Bank and the IMF and the Bank of International Settlements, the major lenders, the parasites that are sucking the world dry with the derivatives and hedge funds. I mean, it's such a larger paradigm, but some people become so focused on the most minuscule, smallest points that we lose focus on the bigger picture.
Well, you're absolutely right. You can get bogged down in the minutiae about 9/11. And also, you know, it's not just Americans that are being exploited with the New World Order. It's the people, the everyday people of Israel, the everyday people of Palestine, of Western Europe and Asia and Africa. We're all potential victims of this New World Order conspiracy. And so, in a sense, we're all brothers in arms trying to fight this evil, whether you're black, white, or brown, Christian, Jew, or even Muslim. You know, and they're good or bad people in all those groups. And they're mostly good. And we have to realize that we're all potential allies in this fight, and we can't look down our nose at anybody. But I wanted to ask you about Spencer. I don't know a whole lot about him. It appears he started out sincere. It appears he started out on the right track. But do you think he's been bought off or compromised or blackmailed? Or do you think he's gone off the deep end? What do you think the story is about him and apparently several other people? Do you think they're plants? Do you think they're intentionally trying to get us off our mark?
Look, I'm not in the business of accusing people of being, working for an intelligence agency. I know there's a lot of people who in this movement are addicted to that idea. They like to say, you're an agent, you're an agent, you're an agent. And in fact, the tactics used by one of these people, and I don't even want to say his name because I think he's such a lowlife, and that's the nicest thing I'll say. I won't say he's an agent, but I will say he's a real lowlife. He is this individual who is a major promoter of a no-plane theory, the space beam theory, but before that it was a micro nuke. It was a micro nuke, and if you didn't think it was a micro nuke, you were an agent. And now if you don't think it's a space beam, you're an agent. He jumps from one outlandish theory to another. This individual used to work for Bush, and now he claims he's a big asset of the 9/11 truth movement. Well, what is he doing? He's joining with his little hand puppet partner there. And the two of them are going around promoting two ideas mainly. Number one, that all 41 pieces of footage, all the footage of the second plane hitting the South Tower was doctored, and it was all a CGI insert. And they're going around saying anyone who says they saw planes hit the towers and anyone who has a videotape of it was in on the conspiracy, and it was all just a CGI insert. And, of course, when you have all the major points, the cover-up by the 9/11 Commission, the NORAD stand-down, the hijacking drill, the shredding of the FAA tapes, you know, Rumsfeld, 2 months beforehand, taking over the orders to not shoot down planes. You know, the absence of air defense that day, the training of hijackers at U.S. Air Force bases. All of these points. He's going on TV, gets on Fox News, and says, no planes hit the towers. Well, what does this theory do? As I pointed out, what it does is then when you go and say, well, no plane hit WTC-7, the average person will say, oh, so you think no planes hit the towers? Oh, I've heard about you crazy people. And now they've moved on. That scheme didn't work, and that little point didn't stick, so now they've moved on to another scheme to divide and conquer, which is that it was a space beam. Now, this same individual who used to work for Bush has called Stephen Jones a serial liar. Now, what Jim Fetcher has chosen to do is begin associating with this most sectarian, divisive clique. And if you want to know how a group like this operates, anytime somebody tries to move the ball forward on 9/11 truth, anytime somebody has tried to do the right thing, they come out and say, you're an agent. I mean, this group says, I'm an agent. They've come out and say, you know, I'm an agent because I'm gatekeeping. And I'm just a limited hangout, and I'm trying to suppress the research. And Stephen Jones is an agent. And 9/11 Blogger is run by agents. And everyone's an agent but them. And if you think that real planes hit the towers, you're an agent. And they go on the message boards, and somehow they have unlimited amounts of time. I mean, they just have all day to just get on the message boards and have unlimited resources to just go around posting and disrupting and pushing the worst theories so that Popular Mechanics and the people on Fox News can tear us apart. Now, I've watched Jim Fetzer for a long time. I've watched him tank interviews on Fox News like a point guard in a college basketball game being paid by the mafia. Now, I'm not trying to say he's an agent. Look, I don't mean it in that way. But I'm saying, watching him tank interviews time after time, I thought that he wasn't exactly the best representative for the truth movement. But the way he is now associated with this sectarian faction that called his friend and colleague Stephen Jones an agent and serial liar disgusts me. Then Stephen Jones emailed him privately and debunked this theory. They say the bathtub wasn't damaged in the World Trade Center. It was damaged. The photographic evidence proves it, and the news articles that day show it. They're talking about a falling piano equation, which just doesn't add up. Dr. Jones kindly emails Fetzer. What does Fetzer do? He exposes the whole thing, writes a big, nasty ad hominem attack on the scholar's page. And now he says he wants to kick Stephen Jones off of the co-chair position. Well, luckily, one of the operators of the website has now taken down Fetzer's material, his open letter and all the sectarian stuff, and says he's going to block Fetzer's passwords. Now, apparently, Fetzer has bought the domain name to Scholars for 9/11 Truth and is now going to open his own little scholar shop. And I say, go ahead and do so. really, my feeling from my pulse of things, and I am in touch with many of the leaders in the 9/11 community, if we can call it even a community, and all of them, 100% of them, are aghast, mortified, confused, bewildered, disappointed, and angry as hell at what Jim Fetcher has chosen to do. Any allies that he did have been burned away, and he's going to have those 5 or 6 or 7 people who are just sectarian, loathsome people getting on the message board saying everyone's an agent, no planes and space beams. And it's terribly detrimental to our efforts to get at the truth.
Sure,
I mean,
is.
We've got 1,000 great points out there, and Jim Fetcher, at best, he has an ego so large it could alter the movement of planets. And at worst, something far more sinister is going on here. I am not in the business of trying to make this a more divisive conflict than it already is, because I'm sure that's what they do. These people feed off of it. They love that we have to waste our time on it, but I waited for these people. I ignored them. I never wanted to talk about these theories. I watched these schemes being drawn up. I watched how they tried to push the no-plane stuff, and it didn't take. And now so they've moved on to a different tactic, disrupting the message boards. They have all their shills in the message board, disrupting, pushing this stuff. And I have no doubt that when Fetcher goes and forms his new little group, they will be the darling of Fox News. They will be on every major media outlet, and they will get every interview, and they'll be on there pushing all this fringe stuff. Never will you hear about them talking about Max Cleland, who said the 9/11 commission, as he resigned, said it was a new Warren commission. You won't hear about the NORAD standout or the hijacking drills, the FAA tapes being shredded. But you will hear no plane hit the Pentagon, no hijackers, no cell phone calls, space beam, no planes. I mean, no crash in Shanksville. That's another favorite of this group. They say there was no crash in Shanksville, even though so many witnesses saw the plane be shot down. There was no crash in Shanksville. And so they'll push every fringe piece of their little, quote, research. And this is what it's turned into. Look, you know, Jim Fetzer is not exactly welcome in the JFK research community either. People ought to look into why that happened. A lot of his quote, research said that the JFK's Zapruder film was all fake. And he says he's very open to TV fakery. I mean, look, I could talk all day about why I disagree with him. But if he wants to form his little speculative group, go ahead and do it. For him to backstab Stephen Jones, for him to associate with the sectarians. And you know what? Damn it, as a leader of 9/11 Truth, he has an obligation to do the right thing. And that is to push the evidence that will lead to a new investigation, not to push some off-the-hinges fringe theory, which is easily disproven. Stephen Jones debunked it in 10 minutes. The bathtub was damaged. The falling piano equations don't work. Your theory's bunk, boys. It's over. And the popular mechanics guys, I guarantee you, are salivating at the idea of Fetzer and these guys pushing this stuff. It is so detrimental. It is so sloppy. It is so irresponsible. And I don't know what he's doing. I mean, I guess he's going to be hosting radio shows all week about it. I encourage people, call into Jim Fetzer. Ask him to defend his theory. Ask him why he's backstabbing Stephen Jones. Ask him why he's associating with the sectarians who have called everyone an agent. They say Alex Jones is an agent, Jack Blood is an agent, I'm an agent, you're an agent, everyone's an agent but them. It's terrible.
Yeah,
and Mike, what I'm trying to do is to say, look, we need to expose these people. It's important to know what they're doing. I think in the end it's a good thing. If Fetcher wants to break apart, good Lord, it would be the best thing, because I think every one of his interviews on Fox News has been a disaster. Lord knows anyone, you, me, anyone could do a better job than he's been doing. So I say good riddance. But in the meantime, what we need to do is realize we have great points out there. Some of the best 9/11 truthers have been called limited hangout artists, gatekeepers, and those are the people who have been pushing the hardcore evidence, asking the real questions. And I think, you know, just because the theory is exotic and brand new and sexy doesn't mean that we need to be pushing it, doesn't mean that it's the greatest line of research. I think we need to understand more about what's happening in Iran, more of the names of the neocons, things like the Iran Working Group, what's happening with Russia and China, what's happening with Syria, why the Mossad and the Israelis are training forces in Balochistan and Kurdistan and Azerbaijan, why there's 4 carrier strike groups. I mean, one more point about this sectarian clique. On C-SPAN, they were airing the programs on Friday and Saturday, the 9/11 Truth programs. You didn't hear one of these individuals talking about that or promoting it. You never hear them promote anything except sectarian, you're an agent nonsense. And so I think it's terribly detrimental, Mike.
Yeah, no. Yeah, your point's well taken. And we shouldn't be surprised that we would have people that will try to lead us astray. We need to constantly be on guard, you know, against things like that. And, you know, just try to, you know, make sure that we keep on target, you know?
Yeah, and it's sad. Look, I mean, who do you think the government fears? Do you think the government is afraid of Dr. Jim Fetzer getting on TV and having an argument, with a respected structural or mechanical engineer saying the building fell from fire and the plane damaged, and then he's going to say it was a beam from outer space. And we've got proof that it was a space beam. I mean, he is so one step away from... And they'll debunk him scientifically. I know it's not just that the theory sounds outlandish. The bathtub was damaged. The falling piano equations don't work. And other than that, they don't have anything. The irony is, it's the same people that pushed the space beam now were saying no planes at the towers. And they said no planes at the towers, and it was all just internal explosions. So apparently they had the redundancy of internal explosions plus thermite plus a space beam. I mean, just... It's all to do to poison the well. It's a poison the well tactic. We should have seen it coming a mile away. And now these people have exposed themselves. I think all careful researchers need to look into what the motives of these people are. Look, make up your own mind. Don't listen to me. Look into the research. Look into Stephen Jones' debunking of this. I think these people are selling a bill of goods that is rotten as hell. I've watched these people operate. I know how this... It's a clique of people that operate within these same realms, and their entire agenda is to destroy everything. Destroy 9/11 blogger. Destroy anyone who's trying to do the right thing in this movement, and I'm sick of it. I think these people are accomplices after the fact.
I think it's obvious by now that this looks like a classic textbook case of trying to co-opt the movement and carry it in some kind of weird obtuse direction to discredit it.
Absolutely, Mike. Very well said. And look, we could focus on this and just name call, but I think what we have to do is use this as an opportunity. There's a silver lining. Jim Fetzer's move here has made me realize more than ever it's time to push the real evidence, the 9/11 Commission cover-ups, the NORAD stand-down, the shredding of the FAA tapes, all the omissions and distortions, because this is the stuff that will get a new commission founded, and we need to focus on the intelligence situation as it stands. I'm going to give you more of that. The economic breakdown, the situation in Iran, this is where we need to focus. I'll be coming back. Thanks so much for the call, Mike.
Will have to be imposed.
Listen, Logan, somebody ought to give Jim Fetzer the memo.
Will be created.
It's over, buddy. Your little scheme is over. Everyone on 9/11 Blogger almost uniformly sees right through it. Every person I've talked to in the 9/11 Truth community sees through you like tracing paper. So it's over. Stop. Please. If you have any interest of 9/11 at heart, when you get on television, you have a duty to push the evidence that cannot be disputed. And that's the last thing I'll say, because it is so disgusting to me. It is so revolting how the ego of one individual and how he will put this in front of the betterment of an entire population. Amazing to watch the selfishness of some people. Great call, Mike. Mike, I encourage you to get in touch with me. FalseFlagNews@Yahoo.com. That's FalseFlagNews@Yahoo.com. I'd love to continue our dialogue about the border. Mike and I have been talking about the North American Union. Of course, the CFR is planning to erode American national sovereignty and merge us with Canada and Mexico. I have argued against the border wall because I don't believe that Boeing and the United States military will stop the flow of drugs or humans or anything, guns for that matter. I think it's really going to be used to trap us in this country after martial law is declared. Look, we need to stop the flow of illegal immigrants because it dilutes the labor pool. We need to stop the flow of drugs into this country. But I do not trust Boeing and the military to do so. And I think that the border wall, which is really just a bunch of spy planes flying overhead, will stop them. I think the whole thing is just a big contract and a huge sham. But, you know, let's hash it out, Mike. Drop me a line. Look, I got a few more articles I need to plow through. There's some good news, folks. A leftist candidate, Correa, has been victorious in the presidential election in Ecuador. This is from the Independence. Ecuador is poised to join the tide of Latin American countries voting for left-wing leaders after Rafael Correa, an economist, took a resounding lead in the exit polls over Alvaro Noboa, a billionaire. Now he's going to join with Lula and the presidents of Bolivia and Venezuela and Nicaragua and Chile, as well as Argentina, who are fighting the IMF and the World Bank and forming a new leftist bloc to battle the Free Trade of the Americas Agreement. This is a huge linchpin in the North American Union. And if we can have more leftist presidents who are willing to destroy the agreements with the IMF, who are willing to stop paying the extortionists and the parasites who run these organizations and are willing to stop the Free Trade of the Americas Agreement, this is a huge revolution going on in South and Central America. I need to do a whole show on this, and there are bright points going on right now. Of course, you'll never hear all these other people talking about it. Got another article here. Justice Department watchdog to review domestic spying program. This is from the AP. Justice Department's internal investigations program said on Monday it has opened an investigation into the agency's use of information gathered in the government's warrantless surveillance program. Of course, the NSA has been working with the Justice Department illegally, going outside the FISA courts. That is a whole other show I could do on here. I've got a few more articles. Dollar's downward slide continues. This is from BBC News. The dollar has continued its downward slide against the euro, slipping to a 20-month low. Folks, do not forget, they've called in the plunge protection team so that Paulson can now work directly with the SEC and the Federal Reserve, trying to artificially prop up the stock market as the hedge funds collapse, as the dollar collapses, as the new oil bourse is open, and as the dollar loses its position as the petrodollar and as the world's reserve currency, we're seeing Russia, China, the United Arab Emirates, Sweden, the European Central Banks are all backing out of the dollar. The fall has begun. It says the dollar has taken a hit in recent days as economic data prompted concerns about the health of the U.S. economy. I got another article here. GPS surveillance creeps into daily life, and it talks about GPS targeting of cell phones. That could be a whole other issue of the show. Folks, time to talk about real evidence. North American Union, the spying on our phone calls, the breakdown of the dollar, possible war with Iran, and it's disgraceful to see the sectarians try to destroy us, but you know what? We are too strong for you. People like Mike, all the bloggers, we've all woken up, and we will defeat you. The New World Order will come down because we are too hip, and we are a real organization willing to expose the truth. Folks, I'm going to be back tomorrow, talk more about these last few articles, and of course, take your calls. Thank you to Mike. Thank you to my listeners. Get at me, falseflagnews@yahoo.com. Have a wonderful night.